volcanic eruption in the South Pacific headlines today's show. I'm Carl Azus for CNN 10, and we're taking you to an archipelago named Tonga. Located about 1,100 miles northeast of New Zealand, Tonga is a small island nation. Its land area is less than a third the size of Rhode Island. Its population is around 105,000, and most of them live on the main island of Tongatapu. It's about 40 miles south of where the eruption took place. The country's government declared a state of emergency after Saturday's explosion. Experts think it might have been the biggest eruption in more than 30 years. Satellite images and pictures from the air show trees, homes, and fields covered in ash. And on Tonga's main island, it looks like some buildings have collapsed. But all of this is only part of the problem. The eruption caused a tsunami, sending massive ocean waves across the Pacific. Tonga's prime minister says some of these waves were almost 50 feet high. These are tremendous forces of water. They reportedly destroyed all the houses on at least one Tongan island. Other areas look like they've been devastated as well. It's just impossible to know how bad the damage is because communication lines were cut off. Getting help to Tonga has been hampered by damage at the capital's airport, but officials say cleanup crews are making progress in fixing that. New Zealand has sent two Royal Navy ships to the islands. They're carrying relief supplies and a helicopter, and they're expected to arrive by the end of the week. All of Tonga's western islands are volcanic, so this kind of activity is relatively common here. But an eruption and tsunami on this scale have caused major problems on Tonga and far beyond.
A first look at the damage. Surveillance planes from Australia and New Zealand take to the skies to try to assess just how bad the damage is in Tonga after an underwater volcano erupted over the weekend, triggering tsunami warnings throughout the Pacific, with some waves reaching as far as Peru and the United States.
We know water is an immediate need.
Countries like New Zealand, Australia, and China say they are standing by to send aid, but the scale of the devastation in Tonga is still unknown. Scientists say Saturday's eruption could be the worst volcanic eruption the Pacific has experienced in decades. Just a day before, the volcano belted out an ominous warning of what was to come, shooting ash and smoke some 20 kilometers in the air. But it was the ferocity of the next day's eruption that unleashed waves of water around the world. In Tonga, the swells at times reached heights of more than a meter high. No mass casualties have been reported so far. One British woman is reported dead. But the full impact of the volcanic blast is yet to be seen, since the country has been largely cut off from the outside world. The government says phone networks are working again, but international communication is limited because of damage to an undersea cable, which could take more than a week to repair. That's making it hard for some aid agencies to plan their next move.
We're roughly thinking up to 80,000 people could be affected. But how many of them are seriously affected? We don't know.
Over the weekend, large waves also hit the coast of Fiji, some 800 kilometers away. Tsunami warnings and advisories were issued in parts of New Zealand, Japan, Canada, and the west coast of the U.S. Coastal cities in Peru were inundated with knee-deep water, trapping people on the streets. Police say two people died due to the abnormally high waves. A force of nature felt for thousands of kilometers. Officials say they hope they'll soon get a better picture of what happened in Tonga, where not even the volcanic island itself was spared. Satellite imagery shows it has now largely sunk into the sea. Tom Sater, CNN.
10-second trivia. Who is the current U.S. Secretary of Labor? Marty Walsh, Eugene Scalia, Elaine Chao, or Janet Yellen? On March 22nd of last year, the Senate confirmed Marty Walsh as Secretary of Labor. The U.S. economy is in a strange place. Wages have gone up, especially in lower-paying jobs like those in hotels or restaurants, but in many cases, what people get paid is not keeping up with inflation, the rise in prices and drop in buying power that's at its highest rate in decades. The U.S. unemployment rate, a percentage of American workers who don't have a job, that's at 3.9%, its lowest point since the pandemic hit. And that would normally be a good thing, but America still has a shortage of workers. In some cases, the jobs that are available are different than the ones people are seeking, or they don't pay as much. Critics of vaccine requirements say they're keeping workers away, and some people only want jobs with a work-from-home option. Here are some other reasons.
Where have the workers gone? It's a question that politicians, economists, journalists all have been asking. Right now, the unemployment rate is low. People are quitting their jobs at record numbers. The time that it takes to fill an open position is the highest that it's been in decades. So what's really going on? Here are four reasons behind the labor shortage. The first reason, daycare. If you have younger kids, right now there's a shortage of daycare workers, and that's even if you can afford it, with costs rising across the board. Older kids were stuck at home during the beginning of the pandemic, learning remotely. Even now, some schools are adopting a hybrid model, which requires students to stay at home some of the time. If kids aren't in school, someone has to be at home looking after them. Inevitably, the burden of childcare falls more on women. In one survey, women cited as the second highest reason for not getting a job as having to take care of someone, a child or a parent. In the same survey, men cited it as nearly the last. The costs and complications of being a parent during a pandemic has led people to weigh the pros and cons of getting a job versus staying at home. For many, getting a job just isn't worth it. The next reason, immigration. So in the US, we've seen immigration rates plummet due to COVID restrictions and processing delays. With fewer immigrants coming into the country, there are fewer immigrants able to enter the workforce. And in some industries, that's had a profound effect. Take agriculture. In the US, immigrants make up about 13% of the population, but 73% of the agriculture industry. Fewer immigrants, fewer workers. The next reason, benefits. Now, this is by far the most controversial of all the various reasons. There's a huge debate going on right now amongst politicians, economists, policymakers, all about what kind of an effect the various COVID government benefits have had on the workforce. Things like extended unemployment benefits, the stimulus checks, the child tax credits. Now, if you ask a business owner, they will say, yes, it's had a huge effect. We just can't compete with the government sending out checks, especially with low-wage workers. But on the other hand, many of those emergency benefits have already ended. The stimulus checks were one-offs. They've already been spent by people. The extended unemployment benefits in many states have been unextended. And yet we're still seeing many workers decide to stay at home. The next reason, retirements. Baby boomers are trading in their desk chairs for beach chairs. Our labor force is getting older. Over the last two decades, the average age of the worker has gone up 3 years. And population growth, immigration, all haven't worked fast enough to counterbalance that trend. So we're left with fewer workers in the workforce. So in some ways, this was a trend that's been going on for a long time, but COVID has supercharged it. In the third quarter of 2021, more than half of the population age 55 and older are retired. And unlike the last recession, where we saw housing prices plummet, now we're seeing housing prices boom alongside the stock market. And old people are statistically more likely to own the stocks and houses that are now worth more money. So more money means more retirement.
On December 6th, 1945, in the aftermath of World War II, a U.S. Army sergeant stationed in Germany wrote a letter to his mother in the States. Nothing unique about that, except that his letter got lost in the mail, and it didn't turn up until 2021 at a U.S. postal facility in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The man who wrote it, John Gonsalves, had passed away 6 years before that. But the Postal Service tracked down his widow, Angelina, who'd shared 61 years of marriage to John after the war, and the letter was delivered to her home in Massachusetts 76 years after Sergeant Gonsalves wrote it.
I couldn't believe it, and then just his handwriting and everything, you know, it was just so amazing.
You can't say we mailed that in. It's an amazing story to the letter. As it unfolded, you could read how it was signed in history, sealed with sincerity, delivered decades later, yet still by hand, just like it was written, and still stamped for the low price of 6 cents, an extraordinarily special delivery. I'm Carl Azus, delivering today's show to Barnegat High School in Barnegat, New Jersey. Our YouTube channel is the only place we look for the schools we mentioned. That's youtube.com/CNN.